This remoteoffice.fm Weekly Corking Show, episode number 21. I'm your host, Lee Mahayati. Our guest today is co-founder of Nomad Trend. She also co-founded ReStation, co-living co-working space at Gran Canaria, Spain. Nomad Trend is the Trans-Siberian trip with fellow digital nomad across Moscow to Mongolia. Let's hear more from Maria Shrotkina.
Hello.
Hey, Maria.
Could you tell us more about your background and about ReStation and Nomad Trend?
Sure. So basically, I've been working remotely, taking care of my businesses for quite some time now. And that was before I opened a co-living space. And then, my background in general comes from ed tech, so education technology. And I've got a couple of businesses in Russia related to education and travel and all that. But I always preferred living elsewhere, so abroad. And that's why I was kind of always searching for a better location where I wouldn't mind spending more, you know, time. And then I just came up with an idea of launching a co-living space, and Canary Islands, on the balance of probabilities, proved to be a sweet spot for that. That's why ReStation is here, and that's why, you know, ReStation in general. So it's more of this co-living space is more of a community for like-minded professionals, and we're less of a real estate business. We're more of a community business, and I think that's why people like us. That's why people come back. And Nomad Trend is a fairly new project as well. So you know, I've just told you that it was a year of organizing, because it's a lot of details. But it was actually born here. In the Canary Islands, and it was brought, let's say it came together when the three co-founders, including myself, met at ReStation at some point, and then we just, you know, started Nomad Trend from here.
How about train? Not bus.
Yeah, exactly.
It's because Nomad Trend, it's travel. How you organize the workplace, the event, when you decide to have another batch of Nomad Trend program, and what typical day-to-day look like when the program began?
Sure. We structure the travel the way that people spend about 24 hours on the train, and then about 3-4 days in the city, so that everybody has time to, you know, have some more comfort and privacy, and explore and catch up with work, and have stable internet connection. Because as much as we try and as much as we want to, there are some places in the world still that are just not connected at all. So I mean, in terms of internet, when you're crossing Siberia, we can't guarantee speedy Wi-Fi with, you know, unbreakable connection. So we definitely don't say that there is internet at all times. It's like, you know, just being transparent about it. But in cities there is. And so we organize workspaces partnering with different co-workings in our locations. So whenever we, to whichever city we arrive, there is a co-working space where people from Nomad Trend can go to and use it for free. In addition, there is always internet at all of our accommodation venues. So at all of the hotels where we're staying, there will be wireless everywhere. That's our number one criteria, because working is important. And then also we, like this time, we were sponsored by a cell phone operator that provided Wi-Fi modems. And I think it was about 40 gig per person of mobile internet. And it was great. Working really well. And we got very good feedback on the internet quality in the cities. So people managed to do, like, you know, conferences and webinars with the mobile internet. So that's in terms of workspace. Since everybody mostly works with her laptop, it's, you know, the major requirement of a workspace is Wi-Fi. So yeah. I guess that's, and then, like, quickly about your second question about the day-to-day life, it will be very different if a person is on the train or if the person is in the city. But, like, yeah. If we're on the train, it's a great time to catch up on things that, you know, like, they've been sitting in your to-do list forever. So, I don't know, write articles, read something, or, you know, whatever is that. Like, work on finances for your next project or your current project, whatever. And then people will, like, so we also organized a lot of activities with the help of train participants. So, for example, there was yoga on the train.
There was, did it?
Exactly, yeah. There was,
is it working?
Yeah. There is some space, not a lot, so you have to be creative. But yes, but we managed. There was also a workshop on trading. There was a hackathon during one day.
Wow.
Yeah, so cool. There were, like, classes of Russian and Mongolian languages. The feedback that we got that the time didn't seem long at all, because you also have lots of new people to talk to. And that's just there's just enough time.
Wow, that's really good event.
Yeah, that was interesting.
How about typical demographic people who come to Nomad Train or
I think Restation and Nomad Train have very similar demographics and, like, let's say, client portrait. So it's, let's say, I wouldn't really put one number in terms of age, but maybe late 20s, early 30s will be a correct description. Where there were slightly more guys on the train than girls. Let's say 60-40, about that. And at your station, we're very equal, so there are lots of girls here, even sometimes more than guys, which is also, like, that's very specific about us, because I'm female founder, so naturally I attract more females. And then in terms of nationalities, there is really zero pattern, because we had people from all over, both at Nomad Train and at Tree Station. And so, for example, the very interesting thing is that at Nomad Train we had five Indian participants, which is not typical. For example, here in Europe, in, like, co-living spaces, you don't see that many, let's say, that much representation of, like, Asia. Asia meaning, you know, anything after Russia. So... Southeast Asia or South Asia or whatever, and that was, it was also a rewarding experience. But other than that, like, pretty much everything from Australia and New Zealand to the US, including, like, as many European countries as you can think of. And we were slightly over 30 people this time on Nomad Train. So yeah,
pretty cool. Is there any challenge and benefit when you create, you have Free Station in one location, Granaria, and the other one, it's Nomad Train, travel?
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess the benefit will be for both sides, because it's all, both projects are for similar audiences. So people, you know, kind of stay in... stay connected to each other. I mean, for the guys who are living through the experience, it's quite interesting that you know, they still meet the same people, and yeah, it's just that they're in the loop. And for us, of course, it's also quite quite good to be able to reach, let's say, the same people, but just like with different projects, and like kind of keep offering new things to people who want to experience new things. So I guess it's a win-win.
Maybe you already booked the workplace at Ulaanbaatar for the member on the Nomad Train, and suddenly something came up in that workplace, so you can't using that workplace anymore. Are you back to the train, or?
Well, there are, I mean, of course, there are emergency situations that happen on the way. But to be honest, so far, we've been lucky. Nothing really happened. So we didn't have, you know, emergencies this time. Although there is, of course, always a plan B in place. And in, like, you know, in terms of workplaces, there's always more than one co-working space. But also, you know, they're really good. We feel that the most co-working spaces are really collaborative and very good partners of us. So, you know, like, it wouldn't be, they wouldn't really cancel on us or anything. We had the situation in Yekaterinburg when we had too many people that actually wanted to use the workspace.
Yeah.
Like, so many that they couldn't all fit in. So what we did, we just we diverted them to the second one. So we had like we had more than one, and let's say 10 people went to one, and then 15 more people went to the other workspace. So it was still okay.
How about funding? Are you bootstrapping, or you got investor?
No. For this type of project, we didn't really need an investor. So it's totally bootstrapped. It's self-funded project, genuinely. So we're three founders here, and we're not looking at getting invested in the nearest future, because we feel that we've got a good growth pattern that where we don't need an investor yet. Maybe situation will change in some time, but not as of today.
What's your strategy to get more member coming to the free station or Nomad Train?
I would say the strategies will be a bit different, but for Nomad Train, for example, we are doing it's a word of mouth campaign. So our members are our biggest advocates, and they're our like travelers, you know, people who went with us. And also it's the type of project that sells for itself. So it really is a beautiful idea. We are in love with our own idea, and many people understand it straight away. So we don't, you know, need to explain it a lot. Of course we use social media. And we do a lot of collaborations with other projects similar to us by Vibe, like other digital nomad events and other digital nomad travel projects.
Like the NX, maybe.
Yeah, so not exactly with them yet, but so we're good friends with Nomad Cruise and Nomad City, for example. So I'm sure that our audiences are also similar.
Cool. How about the unique selling point that you offer to people who join Nomad Train or free station?
So Nomad Train has a very unique selling point in general. You know, it's like travel the world on a train with fellow digital nomads.
Yeah.
I think it's very straightforward.
Very unique.
it really does not. It cannot get even more unique, because so far we don't know of any other train projects for nomads. And, you know, like, it's your office on the train.
Why you choose Russia? I mean, it's because your country.
We feel that Trans-Siberian is epic. So it's not like, you know, it's not that because I'm from there or, yeah, or anything, but it's just that it's on many people's bucket list. And, yeah, and we can satisfy this need of removing this thing from the bucket list. And it's also an amazing experience.
Yeah. If it's together, that would be more awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, we're also growing to different other countries, but I think it was a good idea to start with Trans-Siberian.
What do you see from Nomad Train or Restation in 10 years?
Well, I'm sure that Nomad Train will have lots of other routes and, you know, we'll have more frequent departures. And our big dream is to have a co-working train, actually, you know, so like
how does it work?
A co-working car that will be connected to wireless.
Awesome.
And yeah, so that that would be a really epic experience. For this, of course, we need to grow a bit, and we're not sure of the country. It would be amazing if Russia could be, you know, like the pioneer as well.
Yeah.
And we're pretty sure that the routes will expand. So several other routes, like several Asian countries and we really like Tibet and India.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the vision. And for Restation, we want to grow in terms of different also workation camps that we offer. And we want to grow the digital community that we have, because we have an amazing community that is here currently, like presential. We want to expand it to digital community. And yeah, so kind of grow not only locally, but also online.
Yeah, really epic story that you talk right now with me. Okay, thank you so much to join Remote Office Show.
It was a nice co-working story from Maria. You can follow her on Instagram at nomadtrainco. Likewise, you can also follow us on Twitter at remoteofficeco. Stay tuned for the next episode with PAX Co-working Japan.